Let's take our Bibles now and turn to the book of Ephesians. This morning we'll be looking at Christ and the Spirit-filled wife. Christ and the Spirit-filled wife. Our text is Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 to 24. But to put us in the context of where we have been, we're going to read verses 15 to 24. This is the holy word of God to you, his people. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 to 24. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Let us pray. Father God in heaven, we do come to your word now, Lord, to hear it preached, and to only hear your word preached, Lord. And so we ask, Lord, that you would speak to us through the reading and the preaching of your word, and that by your Spirit, Lord, you would cause us to yield our lives to you, that we may submit to one another and into the roles that you have placed us in this life. Lord, we ask that you would do all these things. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, verses 22 and 24 are a continuation of the biblical call upon our lives to submit to one another, as we saw the last time we were in this section in verse 21. Verse 21 was a general call to the church to put the needs of others above themselves, to love one another as Christ has loved us. But now, in the next section, in verses 22 through chapter 6, verse 9, Paul moves from the general call to the particular or specific call of submission in our particular roles, where God has, by his providence, born us, created us, and placed us to be. And even in the role of submission, every time you see this role of submission here in these passages, you also see that the one who is being submitted to as someone he is supposed to be submitting to as well. And that is so key to this passage. Throughout this passage, even as I read that, what we already saw here, that submission is to come in the Lord. In the Lord. And so the Lord is king of all these relationships. Now we are to remember that as we go through this passage of all the way down through Ephesians chapter 6, verse 9. Well, marriage is that first relationship that Paul addresses in submitting particularly and specifically to one another. But we must also remember that submitting to one another is directly related to being filled with his Spirit. Filled with his Spirit. Because I want to tell you that unless you are yielding to the Lord, unless you are yielding to his word, unless you are being filled with his Spirit, you can put the rest of this aside because it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen unless you are filled with God's Spirit and yielding to him and his word. Wives will not be able to submit to their husbands. Husbands will not be able to love their wives as Christ loved the church. Children will not be able to obey their parents. Parents will not be able to raise their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And servants will not be able to serve their masters. Employees will not be able to work for their employees the way the Lord wants them to unless they are filled with his Spirit. Cannot forget that. And so as we read God's word, as we hear it preached today, we must condition our hearts and cultivate in our hearts that desire and that yearning to be filled with God's Spirit. Otherwise, this is just going to sound like a mechanical instruction. That here are certain things that you do, and when you've done them, you have submitted in the way God is calling you to. But that's not what God is calling us to here. He is calling us first to be filled with his Spirit.
that the things that he calls us to do practically may be true of us inwardly as well. And so we must not forget that, because it is the Spirit. It is the mission of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to teach us God's Word and to call us into conformity to His Word, that we may glorify God with our lives individually, and our church, and our marriages. And that's where we're at this morning. In verses 22 to 24, Paul begins to show us what it is to be filled with the Spirit in our marriages. And he bases this on Scripture from both the Old and New Testaments. And this is where our view of marriage as Christians is totally different from that of the world. And I could spend a lot of time here, and it would almost be impossible to cover all the views of marriage that the world has. And so just like a banker or a teller cannot identify all the forms of counterfeit money, the bank doesn't train a teller to identify all forms of counterfeit money. You know what a teller gets trained to do? They get trained to identify the right one. And then all the other ones that don't conform to the right standard of money, of that paper bill, then they know they're counterfeits. And so it is important for us to have a biblical view of marriage, so that when the world encroaches upon our thinking and upon our practices of biblical marriage, we won't have to know and wonder, well, is that a right view? Is that a right view? Is this a right view? We can say, no, because this is the right view. And anything that does not conform to God's word about marriage is not the right view. So I just want to give you briefly, and this is not the text of the sermon yet, really, but just briefly, four biblical views of understanding marriage. And so we want to just start here. Marriage is founded and based upon the Scriptures of the Old and New Testament. That's where we get marriage. It doesn't come from man. It doesn't come from a philosophy. It doesn't come from culture. Marriage is founded and based on the Scriptures of the Old and New Testament. Secondly, marriage is ordained by God. Marriage is not something that man created out of convenience or for legal purposes or for mutual pleasure. One book I read said that marriage was created years and years ago just to keep peace among cavemen. That they started to identify their mates, one mate for each person, because otherwise there were all these battles and fights going on. That's not how marriage was established. It was not established by culture or social reasons or for legal purposes. Marriage is defined by God in who gets married, what it is, and how it is to be practiced. God doesn't leave it open for man's interpretation or man's intervention or his creation or his pleasure, how he wants to redefine marriage as we see it being done today. And probably most importantly in the biblical view of marriage is a picture of Christ in the church. And by picture, I don't mean it's just something that hangs on the wall. I mean, it is a living picture of Christ in the church. And marriage can only be fully understood by understanding who Christ is and His relationship to His church. And if you were to take time to count in this passage from verse 22 of chapter 5 through chapter 6, verse 9, you would find over 20 times Paul, or actually through verse 33, I'm sorry, about speaking marriage. Paul speaks of Christ and His church over 20 times, either by direct reference or inferring something to Christ and His church. And yet, how often when we read these passages do we say, well, here is what marriage is about. This is how the wife is supposed to live, and this is how the husband is supposed to live. And all these things are true, but we have to have the right balance of this passage. And that is to see marriage is interwoven with Christ and His church. It cannot be separated from Christ in the church. That's what the world wants to do. That's what the world says. We can have marriage our way without the Bible, without the church, and without Christ. And that's not marriage. The world doesn't get to take what God has created and redefine it according to their purposes. Marriage is interwoven with Christ and His church. And that's what we see here in the first section, where Paul talks about wives submitting to their husbands in verses 22 to 24. Christ is right in there
As soon as he says, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, he says, for the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Marriage, Christ, together. Wives, submitting to your husbands, and Christ, together. It all goes together. And you cannot separate it, because as soon as you take Christ out of the biblical definition of marriage, you no longer have the marriage as God designed it and created it. Verses 22 to 24 teaches us that the Spirit-filled wife has God-given roles, and to fulfill these roles is to God's glory and her honor. And we have to see it this way. To God's glory and her honor. Years ago, I remember hearing a guy preaching and saying, I have dreaded coming to this passage. I don't even want to preach from this passage. It's too difficult. It's too hurtful. It causes division. What a misunderstanding of what this passage is about. This passage, like all Bible scriptures, are to teach us how we are to live for God's glory and how it is a blessing to us when we do that. That's what we're going to see here today. And so this passage is not something to fear. It is something to know and to understand and to say, I want that in my life. I want that. Because it's God's design. And it's God's creation. And it's God's promise of blessing. Do you want this in your marriage? If you want it, it's not going to be a burden. If you want it, it's not something that you're going to fear. If you see it as a blessing coming from the Lord and from His design in marriage, you're going to see it as something, this is something I want to go after. This is something I want to pursue. So I want to know and I want to understand what it is that God is saying, how I will be blessed in honoring Him. This is not something to be afraid of. This is something to praise the Lord for and something to go after, to pursue it. Well, here we have the particular call of the Spirit for the wife to put herself under her husband, to make herself subject to him. Verse 22, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Again, you see that phrase, as to the Lord. And this is what a Spirit-filled wife will do. The first point to say this morning of the sermon is Christ fills the wife with His Spirit to be submitting to her Lord. And secondly, we'll look at Christ fills the wife with His Spirit to be submitting to her husband. Christ fills the wife with His Spirit to be submitting to her Lord. As we heard last time we were here in verse 21, the idea of submission is to put oneself under another, to put others above yourself. Now we're being called, wives are being called, commanded to put themselves under their husbands, to make themselves subject to him. And this call comes to the wife because it is a reality. It is a reality. It is the design of God that the wife submit to her husband. The role of the wife was created by God. Not was she only created by God, but her role in God's providence, in God's creation, her role was also created by God and fixed by Him. And so, wives, to fulfill this role is therefore then to honor God and glorify God with your life. And you know what comes after that. Blessing. It doesn't always come immediately. And it doesn't always come in the form of what you might see. But it is a blessing to be living according to God's Word and according to the role that He has placed upon your life. I want to address first who the wives are to be submitting to first, and then address what submission looks like for a wife to her husband. The key for a wife to be submitting to her husband is first to be submitting to her Lord Jesus Christ. That is where it starts. And we see this in verse 22, as Paul says, wives, submit to your own husbands
as to the Lord. And we're going to see in the next several weeks that that phrase, or some version of it, as to the Lord or in the Lord, is throughout the next several verses. This is all as to the Lord. Wives, your relationship to Christ is the priority in your life. And as you know Christ and submit to His will for your life, you will be able then to more freely and lovingly submit to your husband. Why is this? Because it is Christ that has created you for this. And it is Christ who is calling you by His Spirit to submit to your husband. Your key, the key for you to submit to your husband is to first submit to your Lord Jesus Christ. And part of that involves trusting in His wisdom. In His wisdom of placing you in this role, of creating you for this role. And knowing that, as we read here, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. To see this in His Word and then to understand what it means and then to pursue it is what God is calling you to do. He first calls you to ultimately submit to your Lord and Savior. And that's connected to being filled with the Spirit. Remember, we talked about what that meant. To yield to the Lord's Spirit. To give way. To be filled up. To be crammed full with His Spirit. And when a wife submits herself to the Lord to be filled with His Spirit, her Lord can deal with her heart, can remove the seeds of self and pride. That may sound harsh. A man, a preacher, speaking to wives and say, "You have selfishness and you have pride." And I know you do. Because you are like us men. You are sinners like us. And so as you submit to the Lord, you give the Lord opportunity to deal with this. And the opportunity to make you ready to submit to your husband, which is the calling of your life. If you are a lady, a woman who is married, it is God's call on your life that you submit to your husband. Now the world cannot understand this. And you've heard the news reports. Anytime some famous preacher or somebody that gets a lot of airtime, anytime they preach on this subject and say that wives should submit to their husbands, those preachers receive all kinds of flack from the world. Because that's an archaic, ancient way of doing things. And the reason that the world says this is because they do not understand the thing that's foremost here, and is that a wife should be submitting to her Lord. They never talk about that. The world never talks about that. But they don't see that this is what God is calling them to first. They do not understand that when a Christ-following, filled with the Spirit wife recognizes that she has a greater master than her own selfish desires, and she recognizes her marital duties are prescribed by God to her, and therefore submitting to her husband is part of her walk with her Lord. They don't understand that. It is for her a fulfilling of Ephesians 5, verse 2, to walk in love. Verse 8, of walking in the light of the Lord. And verse 15, walking as a wise person. Wives, when you submit to your Lord and submit to your husband, you are walking in the will of the Lord as a wise person. A wife who is submitting to her Lord first is being filled with the Spirit of the Lord, and knowing what the will of the Lord is will then also be able to submit to her husband. We talked about the awesome works of the Lord in our psalm singing this morning. This is a work that the Lord calls you to do. This is a work of the Lord who enables you to do it, as He says in Philippians 2:13, "For it is God who works in you, both to will and to do for His good pleasure." Wives, when you are submitting to your Lord and submitting to your husband, then you are seeing the work of God in your life and it is pleasing to Him. But it is key that your relationship with the Lord be your top priority and that you are submitting to Him first.
Or as Daniel Rogers said in his book, Matrimonial Honor, if her outward submission to her husband begins before her inward submission to Christ, it will vanish like the light of a lamp for lack of oil. This leads us then to the second part of the dual role which flows out of the first. Wives who are Spirit-filled will be submitting to their Lord first. But Christ also fills the wife with His Spirit to be submitting to her husband. Now, another reason the world opposes the idea of wives submitting to their husbands is the way, quite frankly, the husbands have treated their wives. And the world has legitimate reason to complain or to resist this on that basis. It's not right to resist it, but they have been given a reason to mock. Husbands behaving as tyrants and slave masters is not the biblical role of a husband, as we shall see in the coming weeks from Ephesians 5, verses 25 to 33. And it should speak to us loudly that Paul uses three verses to deal with wives submitting to their husbands, and uses multiple more verses to talk to husbands about loving their wives as Christ loved the church. Now, it may be out there. A relationship may be out there in which a husband who is loving his wife as Christ loved the church and still has a wife that is not submitting to him. I'm not saying that doesn't exist. It can exist. But I will tell you this, husbands, that the likelihood is much less likely if you are fulfilling your role, that you do not provide a hindrance to her to fulfilling her role to submit to you. And sadly, both non-Christian and Christian husbands have too often taken this role, this passage, with their wives and given the world reason to mock the Lord and His plan and design for marriage. The jokes are everywhere about husband and wives, right? And jokes are everywhere about wives submitting to their husbands. And it's not a joke, but the world mocks it. And sadly, it's because too often, both husband and wives have given them reason to do so. And oftentimes, the questions about submission usually come when a husband is not fulfilling his role as a husband. Like, is a wife supposed to submit to her husband when her husband is not loving her as Christ loves the church? The answer is yes. That's part of trusting in the Lord for the wives, that they will do their part and trust the Lord to work in their husband to do His part. That is part of you being filled with the Spirit, yielding yourself to trust in the Lord. The other question that comes up when submission is addressed is, what does it mean to submit to your husband? We looked at 2 weeks ago, the word submission is to place oneself over someone else over you, to subject yourself to them. And in this case of the wife and her husband, it means for the wife to be subject to his rule, authority, and responsibility over her. Now, our inward nature, our selfish, sinful nature, when we hear those words, rule and authority over you, they sometimes grate at us. They sometimes rub us raw because it's not in our sinful nature to be willing to submit to someone else. Submission, wives, to your husband as submission to the Lord starts in your heart. And I would ask you a couple of questions to get you started there. Do you acknowledge the Lord's goodness and will in placing your husband over you? Or do you sometimes think, well, Lord, you kind of messed that up? You wouldn't say those words, but sometimes we have those kind of thoughts. That surely the Lord was not realizing how things would be in our day and age and call a wife to subject herself to a husband. So do you acknowledge in the Lord's goodness towards you, wives, and will in placing your husband over you, that it was good that the Lord did this? We're going to look at Genesis here in just a little bit, and we're going to see more of that. But we know that God does all things according to the counsel of His will, and He does it for our good. And a Spirit-filled wife will be seeking to know and follow the Lord's will, humbling herself before Him. And I suspect that it's already happening even here this morning, not because of the character of the wives or the young women in our church here, or even the husbands and young men. But what will happen as soon as you hear words like this from God's Word, that Satan will tempt you the same way he tempted Eve in this matter. He tempted her to believe that the commands of God to not eat of that tree were not for her good. That's where the temptation was. It is not good for you, Eve, to not eat of that tree. You cannot trust the Lord. He is withholding something from you, and you should have it. So even as we read God's Word and we hear it being preached this morning, Satan will take his opportunity to try and convince husbands and wives, young men and young women, that submission to your husband is not a good thing. And yet that's exactly what it is. It is a good thing. It is a blessing from God. Eve failed to realize that all that was good for her was what God had designed for her. She failed to realize that. If she had only believed and obeyed God. The temptation to not submit to your husband is a temptation to not submit to the Lord. And so we have to remember that what God is doing here is good. It is good. So to answer the question, what then does it mean to submit to your husband? I want to give you four attitudes of the heart, because that's where it begins. When it comes to submitting to your husband, which flows out of submitting to your Lord Jesus, it begins in the heart. And I've taken these four attitudes from a book entitled Living in a Godly Marriage. Living in a Godly Marriage by Pastor Joel Beakey and Pastor James LaBelle. So wives, if these attitudes of the heart are in you, they will turn into the practice of submitting to your husband and the Lord. Now, these four attitudes of the heart come from other scriptures, but they have particular application to the Spirit-filled wife submitting to her husband. And let me just say too, husbands, young men, to be husbands, these things I'm about to share with you are the things that you should be looking for in a wife. Forget her beauty. Forget how her hair looks. Forget how her figure looks. Because those things are going to change. But these characters, these characteristics and these attitudes are what cause a marriage to endure joyfully. The first attitude a Spirit-filled wife will have, an attitude of respect to her husband. This is a respect that is not based on the character of her husband, but based on the providence and creation of God. In verse 23, Paul refers to the husband as the head of the wife. Where does he get that from? Verse 23, he says, "For the husband is head of the wife." He just states it like everybody knows this. This is a reality. And where he gets it from is in Genesis chapter 2, verses 18 to 23. So let's turn there. And I want you to turn there with me, to actively turn there with me. Genesis chapter 2, verses 18 to 23. And this is what we read. "And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone." Did you hear that? It is not good that man should be alone. "I will make him a helper comparable to him. Out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name. So Adam gave names to all cattle, to the birds of the air, to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper comparable to him." You see, what's about to happen is a reversal of that which was not good, and now something good is going to happen. This is what God is saying. In verse 21, "And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in his place. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man." And here we have the basis for what Paul said in Ephesians 5:23, "For the husband is the head of the wife." It is right here. Because the wife, the woman, was taken out of man and given to her as to him as a helpmeet. So we see that God created man first, created woman from the man, and she was created for man. This respect from the wife for her husband as her head is acknowledging that God in his goodness created her for her husband. In his goodness, he did that. Wives, you are part of the goodness of God to your husbands. You were created for him because it was not good that he be alone. And we see that in creating a wife for Adam, God was being good to Adam. And you are that goodness. You are that helpmeet. It was not good for him to be alone, but it was good for God to make woman for him, to be his wife, to be his helper. So this attitude of respect does not come from the character of the man that you married. It comes from the providence and creation of God and the role that he has placed you in. And this attitude of respect will include honoring and loving your husband. To honor him is to hold him in high esteem because he is her husband. He is the one whom God has given you to be his helpmeet. And so you honor and you respect him because of what God has done and where God has placed you and where God has taken you from him in that sense. Respect will also include to love him. Now, sometimes we look at Ephesians chapter 5 and we say that, well, the wife is to submit to her husband, but the husband has to love the wife like Christ loved the church. And we say, well, why didn't Paul tell the wife to love her husband? Well, he does do that. He does that in Titus chapter 2, verse 4, where Paul teaches the older women to teach the younger women to do what? To love their husbands. This is their role, and this is part of honoring them. In Philippians 2, we're told to have the mind of Christ, all of us are, when it comes to loving one another, to put the interest of others above yourselves, just as Christ did for you. This characterizes your love for your husbands. This respect, honor, and love is not out of a slavish fear, but rather a free and generous love coming from the love that you've received from the Lord. Respect, honor, and love. All these spring from a desire to please your husband as you desire to please the Lord. Secondly, so the first one is to a spirit-filled wife will respect her husband in submitting to him. Secondly, a spirit-filled wife will have an attitude of helpfulness. And we see this also in Genesis 2:18, where God says, "I will make a helpmeet for him." Years ago, when I used to work for a construction company for Duke Energy, back in Indiana, my job title was line crew helper. I know that there was 10 guys on this crew, and they all had other titles. You know, most of them did, but I had the lowest title, and I could do the least amount of technical work, hot work, live electricity. I couldn't do any of that stuff. But what I had to do was everything they needed in order for them to do that stuff. And I was called a line crew helper. And along with that were lots of jokes, you know, about being the lowest guy on the crew and all that kind of stuff. And just like it is today in marriages, lots of jokes about the woman having to submit to her husband. But I want to tell you about another person who's a helper. The Holy Spirit. And I guarantee you that in eternity past, when the council of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, were, for lack of a better word, coming up with their covenant plan, and
And the Holy Spirit was assigned by the Son and the Father to go and be a helper. But the Holy Spirit did not raise His hand and say, wait a minute. I'm just as much God as you are. I'm not going to take that lowly role of helping. That didn't happen. Because the role of helping, when it is God's designed role for you, is not a lowly role. It is the highest role that you can fulfill when you are fulfilling God's design for your life. So ladies, wives, wives-to-be, young women, do not consider the fact that you are a helpmeet for a husband is something to be ashamed of or despised of. Because God Himself is a helper. God the Spirit is a helper. He serves the church in a very important role for God's glory, and so does the wife. Now, we are not told all the details of what it is to be a helpmeet here in Genesis 2:18. But you know, the absence of a list sometimes speaks stronger than the presence of a list. Because the absence of a list really says the list is too great. Paul said you are to submit to your husband in everything. Proverbs 18:22 tells us that he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. Wives, to be a helpmeet to your husband is to be a helper in everything, in every part of his life, to his body, to his soul, to everything that is about him, to his estate, to his family. And that's what we read in Proverbs chapter 31, wasn't it? You want to see how you wives are supposed to be helpers to your husband? Let me just highlight a few things from Proverbs 31 about the virtuous wife. More valuable than rubies. Trusted by her husband and productive. She does him good and not evil. Provides food for her house, which is his house. She is zealous in the management of her house, which is his house. She is merciful to those in need. She properly clothes her family. Her husband has a good reputation amongst the elders in the gates. Why? Because of her. Strength and honor are her clothing. She is wise and kind. She's not idle and watches over her household. She fears the Lord. Wives, these are just some of the ways in which you, as a Spirit-filled wife, help your husband. Does that sound like a low position? I don't think so. Thirdly, a Spirit-filled wife will have an attitude, a heart attitude of obedience. Yes, obedience. Obedience is first an attitude, because if it's not from the heart, then it is not true obedience. And if obedience to your Lord Jesus Christ is not first in your sights, then you'll never be able to obey your husband in the Lord. And your true obedience will be lagging both to the Lord and to your husband. I want us now to turn back into the New Testament. As I said, we will be looking at New Testament and Old Testament to define the view of marriage. So turn to 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 to 6. Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives. When they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear, do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. For in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are, if you do good and not afraid with any terror. Here Peter addresses the heart of a wife when it comes to submission and obeying your husbands. Heart obedience, Peter says, is precious to God. And so I ask you wives, and I ask you young women who are thinking about marriage in the future, what do you want to be in marriage? Do you want to be seen as precious by God? Or do you want, as Peter compares, the outward adornment to be seen beautiful by the world? God is seeking an obedient heart. And it is with the heart of a gentle and quiet spirit that holy women adorn themselves. What were they doing by doing that? They were trusting in God, being submissive to their husbands. So obedience is twofold, as it talks about here. It starts with the heart of a gentle and quiet spirit, and it moves to actions of obedience. Look at verse 6. As Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are, if you do good and are not afraid with any terror. Not afraid is to trust the Lord in obeying your husband in the Lord. Don't get caught up about this word Lord and Sarah calling her husband Lord. Peter is simply telling us that she was submitting to him as him who had been appointed over her. She obeyed his counsel and his reproofs. And just how important is the wife's obedience to her husband? Just write this reference down. Titus chapter 2, verses 1 to 5 tells us the wife's obedience is tied to the word of God not being blasphemed. That's important. Wives and wives-to-be, your obedience in your heart and your actions are a testimony to God's word one way or the other. They are a testimony to God's word in the positive sense that if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ and you have been created new in Christ Jesus, that you're going to live in submission to the Lord and in submission to your husband and give testimony to the life-changing power of the word of God and the Holy Spirit in your life. But if you claim one thing and live another, then you're blaspheming the word of the Lord. The Spirit-filled wife will be obedient to her husband in heart and deed. And lastly, the Spirit-filled woman will have an attitude of modesty. Stay right here in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 to 6. And we see modesty and dress being noted as well. It is not the outward adornment that commends a woman to God, but the hidden person of the heart. So ladies and wives-to-be someday, I often have to ask myself this question. When I'm about in town or shopping or wherever it might be, and my wife is with me, and I see women who are dressed immodestly, and I say to my wife, when you stand in front of a mirror and get dressed, I'm not talking about her, but I'm talking about women in general who are dressed immodestly, do they not know what they're doing? Do they not check every inch of their face and their body to see how it is being presented? Even a modest woman does that to some degree. But when a person who is trying to be immodest, purposely trying to reveal themselves to people in the world, they are doing it with intention. And so just the opposite then, it has to be intentional on your part to consider what is going through your mind as you get dressed. As you get yourself ready for the day, whatever activity it is you might be doing, are you dressing intentionally as a godly person? Or are you going to dress as someone who is offering themselves to others? Because that's what's happening. That's what's happening even today as the students come to the University of Missouri. I was talking to Simon a few weeks back, how it will be an onslaught of immodesty before our eyes. And we know that the world, we know what they're doing. But Christian women, Christian wives, and Christian ladies, you have to be just as intentional to be dressing modestly. Take this quote down, or this reference to 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. Paul gives us more about this. In like manner also, that the women, he desires this, adorn themselves in modest apparel,
with propriety and moderation, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly clothing, but which is proper for women professing godliness with good works. How you dress, I know, is intentional. You're dressing for a reason. How you do it, Paul says, is to be dressing with godliness. And so, wives, even more so, how are you presenting yourselves to the rest of the world? It's something that you must be intentional about. Something that you must be yielding yourself to the Spirit of God about. But dress is only one part of the equation of modesty. One can dress modest and behave immodestly. One can have immodest eyes and looks while dressing modestly. Isaiah 3, verse 16, the daughters of Zion were rebuked for having wanton eyes. Proverbs 2, 16, we are told the immoral woman seduces with her words. So dressing, behaving, and talking is also a seventh commandment issue. Exodus 20, verse 14, you shall not commit adultery. And this includes anything that leads to or promotes adultery. And so how you dress could be doing that. And you need to be intentional about not doing it. 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 1 to 8 teaches us, it is God's will that we abstain from sexual immorality. And we might say, well, we're not involved with sexual immorality. But that's because we define sexual immorality very narrow. We define it as maybe so narrow that it only includes having sexual intercourse, when in reality it includes everything that we might be doing to lead up to that. And how we dress and how we talk and how we look at others with our eyes is all part of that. Paul says in that same passage, we are to know how to possess our own vessel in sanctification, not in passions of lust like the Gentiles do. So wives have a duty to be modest in your dress, in your talk, in how you look with your eyes, how you say words, how you live your life. Intentionally be that Spirit-filled woman or wife who will want to be modest in her heart and actions. Well, that's the end of those four. I'm sure there could be many more, but four of that nature is enough. And that task is monumental. And I'm sure that it sounds that way to you women, to you wives, to you single women. You may say, how can one be all this? And the answer is, you can't. You cannot, apart from being filled with the Spirit of God. Not just having the Spirit of God, as we talked about weeks ago, that every Christian has the Spirit of God, but to be yielding yourself to the Spirit of God that you may be filled with Him. That is what it takes to be a Spirit-filled wife. And so as this is your calling as a wife, what should you be doing? Let me just say that I would encourage you to be praying that God would fill you with His Spirit, that you may be a submissive wife, because the devil wants none of that. The world wants none of that. And quite frankly, many and lot of the church doesn't want that anymore. But God is the one who created the woman, created her role, and gave her this calling. So I must also say to you that if you can recognize and examine yourself before the Lord that you are not being submissive or have not been submissive, to repent of that sin. And God will forgive you. And if that's the case, that would be the beginning of yielding yourself to the Spirit of God. Because the Spirit of God is not filling people where sin is filling people. So pray that God would show you where you are not yielding to Him as your Lord and not being submissive to your husband. Pray that God would show you where your pride and selfishness are
and to ask God to daily transform you from that into a woman who first submits to her Lord and then also to her husband. This is your calling as a wife. And by God's power, with His Holy Spirit, you can do it. He will do it through you as you yield to Him. Husbands, haven't said much to you this morning. Young men, haven't said much to you, but I would say this first to the young men. If you are thinking you're looking for a wife, look for these things. Is your wife to be somebody? Are you looking for somebody who is seeking to be filled with the Spirit, submitting to her Lord first? Husbands, men who are husbands, I would ask you, do you see this as the monumental task that it is for your wife? All these things that I've been speaking of should cause you to be humble, to be overwhelmed by what the Lord is calling your wife to be. So are you recognizing that she, as a person, is subject to the same temptations, to the same fleshly desires that you are? She is a real person. And when even today, if she decides to yield herself to the Spirit and submit herself to the Spirit, that the devil is going to come seeking to tempt her and attack her and bring her down. So I would say to you as well, as I call the wife to be praying for herself, that you be calling upon the Lord and lifting her up that He may fill her with His Spirit, that she may be both submissive to her Lord and to her husband. Husbands, have you been doing this? Have you been praying for your wife that she first may submit to her Lord and that she may also submit to you so as to submit to the Lord, not so as to fulfill your flesh, but to honor God? And when she is not submissive to you, do you take more offense that she is not submitting to you or to her Lord? What's your priority for your wife? How quick are you to complain when she's not submissive and yet take it for granted and be slow to praise her for respecting and helping, obeying, and being modest? Proverbs 31 says, and the husband praises her. And so pray, husbands, for her and praise her in those things where you see the Lord working in her life, that she may both with joy submit to her Lord and also submit to her husband as to the Lord. Amen. Let us pray. Father God in heaven, as it so often is, you lay such heavy things upon us, Lord, and yet you do not leave us ill-equipped, not able to do these things that you call us. You do equip us. You do say to us, yield yourself to me and be filled with my Spirit, and I will enable you to do these things that I've called you to do. And so we ask, Lord, that you would do that. Change our lives because of your word today. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.